Agnes Sassoon, Reel One. Agnes, can you tell me something about your early background, your family background, and the area in which you lived?
Yes. I remember my darling parents, my father, my mother. My father was a school professor who was very unfortunate because in the days that he lived in Hitler time, he never could really teach properly, and for a long spell of time he was always changing jobs, and he was always looking where he is still allowed to teach for a Jew. Later I realized that I did not know he had many friends, Gentiles, who helped him. One was Dr. Veresh, and many other, and Shalomon Michael in Israel, he lives now. He helped, I think, for Hannah Senesh even. But the thing is, you see, I'm not very clear at that, only what my father told me about this. Well, I remember, start to remember everything, every single thing, except I can't remember never timing and dates. It's blank for me. So therefore, when Dr. Veresh suggested, he read my story in Hungarian novels and little bits in origin, that I don't want it to have it historical because I wouldn't be able never to live up to it. It was just a child's story.
Where exactly were you born and when?
I was born in Czechoslovakia in a small town. I don't know, it was not a, maybe a small town or a big village, and it was on the border of not very far from the Hungarian border.
What was the town called?
Vilok. I think now is Karpatorussia.
What year were you born? What was your
1929. But my story was very, very funny with my years, really. Because, as you know, there was everything about children and grown-ups. And everywhere, all through my life, as you see me, I'm not an old lady, but sometimes I had to be older, sometimes I had to be younger, but that was really the true time. And when I was about 5 and a half, I very clearly remember that in Pressburg, Bratislava, was Czechoslovakia. Slovakia belonged to Czechoslovakia. My father was teaching then in a gymnasium, Hungarian gymnasium. They called the top class teachers professor because they were higher up than teachers, but they were no doctors, but they were higher up than teachers. They called him abroad professor, you know. And therefore, sometimes people find it strange that they called in Israel my father Professor Lichtenstein, because it's not like a professor with a doctorate, but it's a higher degree than an ordinary school.
Did your mother work?
My mother, no. She didn't work, but she was a great intellectual, and she played the piano.
Did you have any brothers and sisters?
I had a brother who was around 3 years older, 2.5, 3 years older than me, who was a brilliant boy, and he was shut in the Danube. He was hidden with anti-fascist in Rozsadomb, where that was a hill, a luxury area in Budapest, and they had a bunker there, and there were army people, Jews, and Gentiles who did not want to obey the fascism. And somebody went and told about this bunker. So they shot everyone nearly, except one army officer was alive. My mother told me so later, because I didn't see them many years. And he could definitely testify that my brother was shot in the Danube with the others and was dead. And he was the only one that escaped because they thought he's dead. And he was a good swimmer. and he came out.
How old was your brother when this
happened? When I was taken away, I was 11. He must have been about 13 and a half. Just after his bar mitzvah.
How much longer after this happened did your parents find out? Did they know immediately? Or?
No, after the war. They were looking for him.
Can you tell me about...
I tell you how it happened, why? Because they wanted to see us safe, my parents. And the time, from the time that I went to the German nursery school, when Hitler came to the other side of Czechoslovakia, which belonged, they called it Petržalka, and in German, I think, Grünau. I wouldn't swear, but I think Dr. Veres researched that for me, and he was a historian and a broadcaster.
So at the moment you're living in Czechoslovakia, yes. And you're at kindergarten.
Yes, and I was nagging my mother because they came and told us that we want dirndl with green aprons, and my mom didn't have, and she had to make it through the night.
What was this, a form of
this
national
uniform
costume?
National costume like the Germans have. And As I went and I was standing, I was very small. There were children from the school. It started in Europe only at age of 6. You had to go to school, right? Up till then, it was a sort of nursery. So the older children who went already to the school, they stood behind, and the little ones stood before. And when Hitler came, I didn't know it was Hitler. We had to go cross the bridge from Pressburg, which was still Czechoslovakia, and it was researched by Dr. Veres that he really was there by the statue of Masaryk, and they picked up the third child for me or something like that, and I can remember vividly his face and his hand across
in a Nazi salute
with some officers by the statue, and he was shouting something madly about the statue. I know the statue after came down because my parents told me later, and I heard even Jude, I didn't know what it meant, but it meant that all the Jewish children from those schools should be removed.
What year would this be?
That was in 38. I wouldn't very clearly remember, but my father did. He was alive. He died 11 years ago about, and my mother 5 years ago. So they could tell me the things which I did not know, because otherwise I wouldn't be able, you know, clearly to know it. And after that...
You left this kindergarten then?
We left this kindergarten. It took some time, I don't know. And we went to this Jewish... There were Jewish German schools in Pressburg, because we spoke German, Czech, and Hungarian. Yeah? And my father took very much attention that we should know, as my brother was older, we all should know another language, and German, and English. And he respected very much the British people. He told us stories, how polite they are. How nice. So my heart was always near to Britain, though I never dreamed that I will be ever involved with it. And it's true, you know, I never knew that will happen. But it was in me, in Brodert, that they're very respectful and very tolerant.
How long did you stay at the Jewish school after you
Well, I must have, off and on, I was all the time there till we went... till maybe age of 10, 11. I really started a bigger school than small school there in Bratislava. But in the between, I disappeared for months when we didn't have what to eat. Then they used to send me to my grandmother, which was my mother's parents. They had a vineyard in a village, which is also belongs now to Russia. I don't even know exactly how they call that village now. It was Nachselish.
They'd send you from Bratislava to stay
to
with your grandmother.
My grandmother, right? Because in those smaller places, they had more food, and even the gendarmes, they knew the families, and whatever while they were, they had some respect to the older people, to the older families. And somehow in the vineyards, I don't know, I was hiding. That picture actually must come from there, which is in my first edition of the book.
Were you aware of what was happening in Germany and throughout Europe in any way?
We were aware, because I tell you why, I've now recall it exactly like I did then. Maybe we were not knowing exactly what, but we know that when our parents told us that to shut up or not to cry because we will be killed by the Germans or we will be taken away, we did so, except when we had some terrific pain, then they gave us some pills. All children and grown-up who were troublesome, they got some pills. I knew it from my parents.
Were there many soldiers or SS on the streets, did you?
Well, not in Czechoslovakia. I can't recall it. When I went back to Pressburg at the beginning, I didn't put very much attention on these things. I just knew that we are different than other people and we have to be in this Jewish school. And then my father couldn't teach anymore and he had to have some other job. And struggling here and there, they sent me and my brother between the two grandparents, you know, in hiding and eating and coming sometimes for me. It was also dangerous, I think, because it was not safe anything, you know. And finally, when I was about age of 11, when they took me away, we were living a while in the Jewish area in Budapest.
You left Bratislava by this time?
Yes, by this time. We were helping for other refugees. My father used to help for other refugees, not only Jewish, but Gentiles, who have to come over in desperation. And we had a toilet outside because it was a Yellow Star house. And we couldn't walk out when we wanted to. There was restricted time. But my father was very courageous. And he did walk out without the star. And there was a grocer in the house who was not a Jew. He was a Gentile, and he was giving on points food for people because they were some sort of
rations,
and for Jews were less. And for my father, he put away all his side things. See, my father was a gorgeous, lovely person, and he was also very...
Did you have to wear a yellow star?
Yes.
I remember
they had my mum sewn it on my coat. And we had a family coming over from Czechoslovakia whose parents were killed already somehow, I don't know. And a young man about 17 and a girl in my age, and we didn't have money much because my father worked off and on and not in teaching or not anything. His friends gave him some job, sometimes research, or I don't know what, really, I do not know. And very hard it was to survive. But this girl in my age, it was somehow an acquaintance family, and the toilets were out and the neighbors were fascist. Hungarian Nyilas, they call it, arrow cross. Before, they didn't show it, but they would go and tell on us if they would see somebody to go out to the toilet, a stranger. So we hidden these people in our small flat, which was not our real flat, you know, and my father used to take out everything after them, and many Gentiles and Jews like this came over. And he could place everyone with some underground help. There was also a French diplomat, Mr. Henri Adder, I think. You know, I can't express it how, but it was Henri Adder, and he worked on the French embassy. And I do know he did help a lot for my father to give food and things for these people who were hidden.
How did your father get involved in doing this kind of...
Well, you see, he was... He was going to school with many famous people in his age, Hungarians, Gentiles, and Jews, and in his age, and his Dr. Veres was, for instance, one, and he was much younger, 10 years at least, than my father, and that's a different story though, so I don't want to embranch. He wrote a book that Horthy did send him to Turkey for the Allies, to speak to the Allies, to give himself up. and his wife has the manuscript. Maybe you could talk to her. And he found it out only after the war that they sabotaged him, because Churchill said yes, after 30 years he found the paper of Churchill, the reply, and they sabotaged him away, and he had to come back to Horthy with empty hands. Otherwise the Allies would have Hungary and the Germans couldn't occupy it. You see, this sort of stories, which I knew from Dr. Veresh and my father, but Mrs. Veresh, Lola Veresh, is working, I think, still part-time, BBC, Hungarian broadcast, and she has these papers. But that was very intriguing, because I met him by chance, and he recognized me from my father's picture.
You tell me you were living in a Yellow Star house.
Yes.
How did you come to be living in a Yellow Star house?
Every Jew had to live in a Yellow Star house.
Had you previously lived in a normal
yes,
house?
Yes, yes, very nice.
Budapest?
Yes. Well, the thing was, I can't really, I can remember when I was very small that I had a Kinderfräulein as well, a so-called nanny. That was before that. And later, I remember we had a nice flat, so-called really luxury with central heating, but we had to move, and we were a short while there, and I think after the war my parents got it back.
Were you surprised at the condition of the Yellow Star house compared to where you'd lived before?
No, I just took it how it was. My mum was a very good housewife, and she made everything go far, even to people who were strangers in our house. We didn't do it. My father didn't do it for payment, for nothing. And sometimes he really didn't have the money even to buy the bread. So that Gentile gentleman in the house, in that road, he gave him on credit. Mind you, he was alive after the war, and my father tried to reward him, though he didn't have much money, but with other things, right?
Were you in a school in Budapest?
In Budapest again, my brother was going in a proper gymnasium because he was very clever, and it was numerus clausus, but with connection of my father and with his cleverness, he could get in that school, proper school. But I couldn't, because maybe I was not so... My life, he was older a bit, you see, was all messed up. And I was not ignorant, but I wasn't... it was not worth to fight for me for this new work to get in some, because I was only about 11, between 10 and 11 when we lived really in this Yellow Star house, right? So at 11 they took me already from the school away, and that school was a school where all the Jewish children from small till larger, it was a synagogue, converted all in school, all in synagogue, and I heard after the war they used the Red Cross to put out the list there to look for the lost families, which I never appeared. And the reason was because Major Chater took me out from the hospital and in a private house in Baden-Wickerstrasse registered. And I was never properly registered, which he regretted very much.
Can you tell me now about the day you went to school and came out and was taken by the Germans?
Well, first of all, every day we were prepared of things like that. You didn't know what can happen to you on the street when you had no curfew in, even so. So...
Had you had experience of anti-Semitic incidents?
Yes. Yes. It is the next door neighbor who I saw that they are good, really. They lived always in that house, which became a Yellow Star house, and they didn't move out somehow. But every movement they told on us. And there was a sort of housekeeper, or what in the house, how you call it, they look after the houses.
Housekeeper.
A housekeeper, a trustee. Well, you didn't know whether she is bad-willed or anti-Semitic or not. We didn't know that. And actually, she wasn't too bad. Because when this lady and this couple went and said something that some strangers are in our flat, she didn't take notice. She could have gone to the SS and said so. I tell the truth, you know, good and bad. But on the other hand, we didn't realize it, my parents told me, until very much later, that the young son who was going to my father's school once, and he came, if he didn't understand something, he came in, even in the Yellow Star, to ask him. He was a Arrow Cross. And he was a dangerous Arrow Cross. He would tell of his own mother, maybe.
Can you explain Arrow Cross?
Arrow Cross is like the fascist, the movement of the fascists, like SS, in young and in big.
The Hungarian
yeah, SS. And all what I can recall and remember when I, before they took me away, that one day, after all, my father made some research and teaching part-time, because his Gentile friends tried to always make him, they knew what a great man he was and tried to make him some work and private tuition or something to make a living. And one day, their own children, which he was teaching, quite big children, they were kicking him on the street and said, Jew and Jew and Jew. He was all full with blood. And I just came back home because the curfew time went down. Well, I never can forget and forgive that, you see. Therefore, I always felt Czechoslovakia, though, whatever it might be now, was very democratic. And I always, though my father was studying in Hungary, in high schools, university, teaching profession and everything. And I remember Budapest for later. I never could take such a liking, because I always had this memory before me, you know. Not hate, just this memory.
What did you do when you saw this happening to your father?
Well, I couldn't do nothing, because, funnily enough, in those days, children had more brains and more initiative than now. Well, I can see intelligent, educated children from good families today. They wouldn't be able to stand for it, even in age of 20 or 20. But then a six-year-old could take in things, you know, 10-year-old, that it's something that you just... I ran home and I said to my mom, and I know that they had a couple of friends, they couldn't do nothing. So he just couldn't do nothing. And then when they were the curfews for the air raids, we used to go down to the cellar, and then the Arrow Cross and the Germans came in. A blonde German, I never forget, a very tall, very good looking, and you know, I did it. He was smiling all the time, and everyone who just moved, he beat him there, not in Konstanz, that was in Budapest, in the cellar already, you know. And if a child wanted to cry, as I told you, they gave him a pill or her. And the parents, it was very hard. We took down blankets from the flats. They raided the flats while we were down. And one day I needed to go to the loo very much. And I was always somehow a natural child. And I said to this smiling German, because he was so deceiving, you know, and to let me go up to get some things and to go up. And he said, to go. I couldn't believe it, and he let me go. And I was looking in his eyes, and he let me go, and I came back with blankets and things like that. And, you know, incidents like that I can remember in the beginning. My mother always made very great point that whatever we didn't have money, all what she had, they sold slowly. And they bought good shoes, good warm clothes, and thermal underwear. And if we are taken somewhere, then at least we have that. But that, as you know later, that was in vain, because when they found you in good clothes, they took it away.
Can you tell us now about the morning you went to school?
Well, I just went well dressed, you know, warmly dressed. And when lunchtime we came out, it was a bit of commotion about it, because we didn't know exactly what, but a few of these vans were standing before the school. And some parents had smaller children, or they lived further than I did, not in the area. And the parents used to weigh them. And that was always the time when the Jews could go out, of course, because otherwise it's not allowed to wait. And there were about 3-4 of these trucks. I don't remember exactly how many trucks. And German soldiers, they were... No, I did see all the Red Cross and Germans. They were working together. And a very beautiful lady, Aranka, later I knew... She was fat but beautiful. Somehow, I can't tell you, it's always before me. She had beautiful made-up nails and everything, blonde hair and blue eyes with yellow stars. She came by. And when the people started to make a run for it, and they were beaten and in the air shots and all sorts of things, then they were put on these tracks. And they said to the children should go in a separate track because they come to school and they will have... a good time and food and everything. And they believed, you see, and the parents let them go, whoever waited them, because they thought it's better. And this lady, Aranka, later I knew her name is Aranka, she held my hand and she said to me, I was a little nobody, you know, and she told me, you come with me and don't go with those, come with me on that track, because she was pushed. And that was a German, couldn't understand, maybe Hungarian, I don't know. Anyway, she pushed me on that truck, and I was really quite hidden there because they were all grown-ups pushing each other. And she told me that, look, if they ask you, you say, you are very small. I was very small and very tiny, really. I didn't even look 11, you see. But she said, you say you are 13 or 14 because then you can work when you get it somewhere, you know. And she kept shielding me all the time. And then we went to a camp, and we were in the mud. I remember so many bad things. I don't know times or days. And then we went to this big place where they collected all the Jews for the marches. But that was after we suffered already a couple of weeks or a week somewhere in a camp with the arrow crosses.
Do you know what year and approximately when in the year it was that you were taken from school?
The year, it was just a year before the war ended, I think.
1944?
Yes. It was, you know, luckily late, you know?
Was it near to the end of that?
Yes, year? I think because I was about a year in the camp, 11 months or so. But that must have been well before, because we must have been in that pre-camp and walking weeks or months. I don't know. It must have been weeks.
So... You were put into the trucks and then taken...
We were taken to a camp, because the children, I don't know, they were taken maybe straight to Bern, I don't know, or what. But that was still in Hungary. The grown-ups, they were taken in a camp, in a muddy camp somewhere, and there were a lot of arrow crosses around, and they had to go out to work. And one of the arrow cross told me to have a run and to go back to my parents. I didn't believe him.